and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Today, we kick off a two-part discussion on sow farm management with a known and respected team of professionals. Our special guest is Jay Oliver of Tosh Farms.
Jay Oliver, I'm the director of livestock production at Tosh Farms in Henry, Tennessee. We have farms in Tennessee and Kentucky, and right now we have around 37,000 sows.
Also joining us for this series is PIC's Latin American Technical Services Director, Jose Piva.
My name is Jose Piva, working with customers in Latin America, Mexico mainly, Colombia, Brazil, and Argentina.
And Carlos Gonzalez.
My name is Carlos Gonzalez, and I'm working on the technical service team for sow farms in here in the U.S. And I am located in Indiana, and working with customers in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, some in Illinois, until Iowa.
If you will, Jay, I'll start with you, and let's talk a moment or two about how the sow retention program has evolved at Tosh Farms in the last 5 years, we'll say. How are you looking at it differently today than you did back then?
Well, you want to go for what PIC says is total wean sows per lifetime. We look at it a little bit different than the way PIC recommends. I'm not as big on saying 95% of our gilts have to be third parities, let's say, whatever that number should be. But we mainly look at what our average mated inventory is, what the parity structure is on it. We don't want it getting too old, because if you want to push lifetime numbers, you could run 8, 9, 10, 11 parities to push that number. We really look at our gilt development and how that's going to affect that. We bring the animals in. We're trying to keep the condition under control so they're not getting too big, so we do not have any feet and leg issues. Gilt development is the key for us. We work with PIC nutritionist, Wayne Cass, which we mentioned. Lots of things. We look at the average daily gain on gilts. We've seen in pen gestation systems, if those animals do get too big at the time you breed them, you're going to have more fallout, more lameness. That's been one of our biggest things, because we have pushed to go to pen gestation, and it's different than a crated facility. And we've had to change our mindset on how we develop gilts, feet and legs, our selection criteria, which to me, that's what's pushing for the future of that sow herd.
So PIC's got a different thought on the number of parities that you're looking for. How would that vary from what Jay just has laid out in their situation?
At the PIC, usually we say for each gilt that we put into the system to get, on average, 60 piglets to wean on the lifetime. So certainly that not all the gilt will be getting the 60 piglet wean. But when we think in terms of throughput to site one, the most important part is secure that you have this 60 piglet wean in a very short period. We can do 60 piglet wean to different genetic, different type of sows. But if take 3 years, I'm not interested in terms of this. I prefer to do this over a period of 24 months. So throughput related to parity retention is very, very, very important. So like not just to say we need to get all the gilt to get into parity 3 or parity 4. We have a target. We would like to see at least 70% of the gilt that we breed for the first time to get into parity 3, to deliver it to arrive to parity 3. But there's no reason also to target this number too heavy and keep animals that you do not want, or they're not be a very productive animals. Okay? So is there are more than one way to say, say like the parity retention. The parity retention to me is very important to produce more piglet throughput over a period of time.
I believe that fundamentally selection of the gilds is a key ingredient to thinking and lifetime performance of the sows. But probably before of that, also we need to think and have a good planification to try to have an introduction, periodical introduction of gilds in the herd, so that way we can keep a parity structure that allow us to grow in performance, because we know that P1s, the first gilds, are pushing our PSY, our production on the farms. But at the same time, we don't want to compromise and to put too many in a way that we can produce an imbalance on the health of the herd. So everything, I think, starts with a good planification. And in that planification, we need to consider the selection of the gills. If we are selecting for good legs, good body extractor, that could allow us and allow the farm to keep those animals, like Pira said, at least 75% of those animals until parity 3, and hopefully 45 to 50% of those animals until parity 6, to have a good productive, and good productive animals on the farm.
So how is that? How has that changed in the last decade? What was it 10 years ago, and why did it change? Is it just a matter of outcome of genetic programs? Is it a different way of managing? Better control of body conditioning? What's driven that change?
I think it's a combination of different things. But today, pigs are not the same than 10 years ago. Today, female is not the same than 10 years ago. They're much more productive. But also expectation from the farmers or the producers are much higher for a gild today. I do believe that today we know more about our gilds. We know that it's better sometimes to have a few more gilds available than to be short. Okay? It's difficult to make a good throughput when we are missing gilds and just trying to work on parity retention and keeping the type of animals that we do not want, okay? Or that the farm maybe will be missing production because we keep this type of gilt. Okay? But the different way for increasing or getting a better parity retention is certainly gilt selection, environment for the gilt, the feeding that provides to the gilt, and a lot in terms of the health status of the gilt. I do believe that is more difficult to have a good to have the same parity retention for all the farm, a farm that is negative for most of the disease, and a farm that the gill go through some major challenge in terms of mycoplasma, PRS, or any other type of disease. So how this move to today's number, I think is a lot in terms of the expectation and the better knowledge of the production.
Well, people, when you say that, it's also we're pushing the gilts harder than we ever have to be able to see what they can actually do, where years ago we didn't push that female enough, and we've seen that if we don't push her at the start, there's no way we can get that number lifetime pigs weaned.
So pushing is breeding earlier, is feeding earlier, is...
No, I think that's the performance of what she can do in the farrowing house. Mm-hmm. You know...
Loading with more piglets.
Yes.
Yeah. She stimulating all the other. So getting an animal that gets into parity 3, parity 4, with the 14 good teats all working, or the even 15 or 16 good teats all working. So we usually, Jay, we say, gives opportunity to the gilt, to the sows, to show what they can do it. Or the other way, we also say, challenge your gilt or your sows to see how much they can show, how much they can deliver. Okay. I think both way, done in a proper way, is a good way to make our farms or our gilts performing better, our sows performing better.
One thing that I have noticed in the last, let's say, 3-4 years, compared to 15 or 20 years ago, we used to have more complaints about leg structure and more problems on gills with legs, in particularly. And in the last, I would say, 3 years, that is not something that I see too often when I visit in the farms. I think has been, with the pass of the years, has been a very nice improvement in that characteristic on the gills. I don't know if you see that on your farms, if it's something that you see less than before, less problem with that.
Yes, that's changed tremendously over the years. I mean, as far as the genetics have changed, gilts that I started using 20 years ago could not, feet and legs were not developed as good as they are now, not as sound an animal. And there was really no way they could produce at the extremes we're doing now. I mean, that's part of what we're seeing is, as far as total born. We're seeing the increase in total born every year. We feel that that's what we're doing to develop, you know, managing our indexes, developing our gills on the boar stud side and also the multiplication side. You know, our system is a little bit different than most of PIC customers. I would say we're the only big system still out there using a C29 that I'm aware of, Piva.
Yes, you're right.
It's worked well for us. I think we're getting the same numbers that other people are getting from the 1050. And, you know, the genetics had to change when we're going to pen gestation now and being able, those animals to being sound enough to be in a 80-head pen or 300-head pen and have that competition. So, yes, we've seen a drastic change over the years.
So, in my opinion, today the quality and the advance that the genetic has done with the gills is tremendously. And if we do a good selection and we give the gills a good we are able to give them their vital needs. I mean, a good quality of feed, enough space, water, quality, access to feed, air quality, right temperature in the rooms. So if we give them the right necessities, the right needs they have, and we are able to do a good job with the puberty management, those animals will respond fantastic. And when I see in some farms that the lifetime start to get in compromise, is when we start to put too much pressure on those points. And in some moment when we start to push in too much and start to breed in those animals, they are not really prepared, is when the things start to get complicated. And when still the things are not going in the right direction, when we breed in every single animal that we have on the farm, or when we not give them the right conditions to having a good development, is when the things start to getting a little bit on the wrong direction, I would say.
So we're at PIC, and so genetics are paramount, and yet PIC does an excellent job of helping in management issues when they come up, trying to understand how can you best utilize the genetics we're providing you. So that being said, Jay, you said that these pigs are so much different. How big a component is the management element, whether it's nutrition or whether it's selection? I mean, the genetics is the package that it arrives in, and now how do I make sure that I best utilize that potential?
Well, in our situation, we have, as far as gilt development, we have GDUs where pigs are brought in at 24 days of age, and they stay on that farm all the way till they're moved into the sow farm. Ideally, that's the way we like to manage it the best. After a nursery phase, they're only eating gilt development feed the whole time they're in our system until they're moved to the sow farm. But it comes down to people and the way they care for the animals, because we also have just isolation units where we move them to the sow farm, the isolation unit. They may stay there 6 to 8 weeks, and that's the only interaction that the farm has before they're brought in. What we're seeing, and one of the keys is, the more time people can spend with that animal before you bring it in the sow farm, the more successful you're going to be with that animal. We've, at our GILT development units, we have somebody that's there all day. They spend all day with the animals, all the way from weaning to training in our ESF system before we bring them in. Any system can work, and we get the same results. It's not like one of them's better than the other as far as our GILT performance. But I don't think in the past a GILT developer or an isolation has been the last thing a sow farm was concerned with. And now I think there's been a swing that people are willing to spend money to put the people in place that they can spend more time, develop those GILTs, heat checking, making sure you have multiple heats before they're brought into the sow farm. In our case, we do not like to breed anything unless it's had the third heat. So it's worked really well for us as far as performance, but it really comes down to the people and who you've got managing those animals, in my opinion.
So just taking Jerry's comment, I think another big change is in terms of the feeding. If we look back in the past, we fed much more our GILT through the gestation phase. Today, the feeding is related to the condition of the female, but most of the GILT through the gestation, they will be fed no more than 4 pounds, where in the past we try to feed much more, and the GILT put a lot of weight, and that certainly did not help in terms of creating the right type, producing or having the right type of GILT arriving into farrowing. Supporting also what Jay said in terms of people. We have learned a lot that people can make a big difference in terms of preparing a GILT for to get a good retention. If we try to look at retention only what we do in terms of selection, probably we will not be getting our best. It's a combination of selection, combination of feeding, combination of more stimulation to get them to cycle, because a lot of GILT, they can be cull because they do not cycle the 2-3 times at the right age or the right time. And beside this also is to train the animals for the right, the same type of feeder, the type of water nipple or water source that they will have. Okay. There are a good amount of GILTs that they get into farrowing and they struggle to get the water source, or they struggle to get to the feeder, and we do not need to lose many out of 100 to start to jeopardize our number, okay, or the parity retention. So if we go back and say, what's the big change made done in terms of GILT to improve retention? I put my number one on feeding. The way that the GILT are fed, and through the gestation phase, and also during the farrowing, during the lactation period.
Is feed an area where we have fallen short in our best management practices? Just because we're feeding them too heavy, or we're not feeding them the right ration at the right time? Is that the area where we need to pay closer attention?
To my side, I still think that there are opportunities to keep looking into this. And mainly in terms of is to avoid feed, to minimize feed disruption. The GILT, when they get into farrowing and they go for a few days without eating because they have or a retained piglet, or because they are not drinking water, or because they are lame, or anything like this, all at the end of the day turn into be getting feed through the body. I still think that feeding, getting this GILT getting into farrowing, bring them with the right weight, and getting them into farming also wins the right weight. Not too heavy, but also not too light.
Just right.
Yeah, just right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with Pia. I think that is a big opportunity out there. It's a big opportunity on the farms. I think that, surprisingly, is very underestimated. What is the impact of a right body condition, try to control body condition on the sow farms? You can see what Piva said. In many farms, it's very often to see sows are getting to farrowing too fat. But today has been an improve, but it's still a lot of room to improve in that area. A lot of room to improve.
And that really affects subsequent
farrowing. Yeah, so we expect to have with fat sows problems on lactation. Those sows will tend to eat less than other sows. Their production, their milk production, colostrum production will be compromised. So those sows will tend to eat to lose too much condition during lactation, and that will have heavy consequence on the subsequent farrowings and breeding performance. It is very clear. Something else that I will include probably on sow retention is the sow care from the health standpoint. So today, not only here in the U.S., but in many places, we have a high rotation or turnover of people, and sometimes we are not catching the sows when they start with a problem, like a lame or any other health problem. And the longer the time that we take to start a treatment with those animals, the higher the probability that we will lose those animals. So I think that is also something that we saw too much in the farms with a big opportunity.
One thing I would bring up that Pila was talking about is a gilt coming to the farrowing house and water nipples and intact feeders or Salmax feeders or whatever they are. One thing we've done, and it was an idea of one of my top managers, that in our gilt development units, we actually in the pen put a lactation feeder in the pen with the intact feeder, and they are exposed to that throughout the whole time that they're in the pen in the gilt developer. So his feeling was, and what he brought up to me, which to me it's worked great, we also bring those animals in this particular farm. We bring them in and they go to a gilt row in a crate, and they're on full feed with that same feeder. So when they go to the farrowing house, they've seen that feeder, they start on feed. That we don't have the training issues with the gilts that we used to have. And as far as condition, it's our opinion as a company is I want zero fat sows in the farm. I would rather have some sows that are too thin than I had too fat, because what I tell my guys is we can always put weight on them, but I can't call Jenny Craig and have Jenny Craig come in and give me a diet plan. That's not the way we want to handle our animals. And we consider it, as far as condition, more athletic is what we call it, more athletic animal. And lots of people they want the pretty, plump, fat-looking animal, and that's not what is best for that animal, and it's not what's best for us as producers. And I think there's been a swing in that, and also the way we condition score. There's more what I call mechanical type devices that people are using now, calipers, that is something we've implemented in our farms, and I've seen it big. It's probably the closest thing that you can get to ultrasounding and backfatting every gilt to be able to. It takes the human element out of it. You use it, you go with that, that's what the score is, and we've seen lots of improvement in our condition by doing that also.
Are there things that you do to help make sure that those animals are fit and ready when they reach that point?
No, I can't really think of any type of...
But just limiting their feed intake so that they're not overweight is the key.
Yes, and our situation is new farms we're building at, 35 to 45 days, they're going to that pen. and they're in there with, in our situation, 80 animals, they've got to be physically, if they're overweight, there's more chances of them being injured or getting down or anything. And if she's too big going in that farrowing house, she's not going to have the feed intake, which is going to mean that she's not going to be able to supply the pigs with enough milk, which means she's not going to be able to wean the 14, 16 pigs that we need.
In our general recommendation, or personally what I recommend to when I go to a farm in this topic, condition, body condition of the sow, is at least try to have some monitoring where you can adjust the feeders and the amount of feed that you are giving to the sows. And what I normally, most of our colleagues recommend is at breeding, 30, 60 days, and 90 days. Probably 90 days just to monitoring how the sows are going to farrowing, right? But in that particular time, be consistent every week with every different group of sows in controlling. Caliper is a good option. So you will have just the thin sows, ideal, and the fat sows, and according to that, have a different setup of the feeding, of the feeders, depending on that category, to adjust and try to control it. To have at least 85-90% of your sows going to farrowing in ideal condition.
Joining us on The Squeal for this first episode of two on Sow Farm Management was Tosh Farms' Jay Oliver, NPIC's Jose Piva, and Carlos Gonzalez. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.